And we are back. And why I have this big grin on my face is simply because the person that actually I get to interview now, I feel like he's my brother, Jim. We got a chance to meet each other over in another mastermind group that we were actually in that's still thriving and growing today. And you became like a brother to me, and I absolutely love you. And the talent in which you hold far exceed if you're struggling in anything. You know, if I got a question about something, I'm calling Jim. That's what I'm doing. And before I really jump into this particular interview, I have to pause because I really want people to hear from Jim. I really want people to know who Jim Beard is. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'd love to. And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And of course, I mean, definitely see you as family as well, like my sister. Yeah, it's like where to start. But I started in corporate. So I worked in CGI for 16 years doing automotive CGI. And I got into it because I saw Jurassic Park and was like, yep, that's it. I want to do that for the rest of my life. And I never quite got there. I worked on two movies while I was in Michigan until the film incentives left and went to Georgia, which was Spy Kids 4, All the Time in the World, and Piranha 3DD. Yeah. It happened. So I worked on those two movies, and that was it for my film career. All the build up for all those years ended up just going to those two. It was cool to see my name in the credits, you know, kind of scratch that itch for me. And then, but the money really wasn't there. You know, you don't get paid really well in movies at all anymore until you get up into like really high up management. So I did automotive because that's where the money was, and I like to eat. So I did that for a very long time, and I got really good at it. And I moved up into management and supervisors and all that kind of stuff. And just it never really panned out to fill that need I had for serving others and that creative outlet. Because I would work on some little thing really, really passionately for a short period of time and hand it off to somebody that's in the pipeline ahead of me and then not hear about it for sometimes 6 months to a year. To when we're getting a message in the email, a group message to, you know, 100 people saying, great job, team, and they're holding up an award, and I've never met that person in my life. Yeah. And taking credit for all the hard work that the floor did to make that product. And then, you know, like the winky face at the end, you know, let's push hard into Q4 or something like that. It just felt empty. It felt incredibly empty. But I had the skill set now. I had video skill set, at CGI skill set. I had the look and feel of what something that sells something really expensive should look like and should feel like, and psychology that needs to happen in order for someone to make a buying decision or to take action, right? So I had always been an entrepreneurial spirit. I had always been someone that wanted to create and serve, create something that serves the world in some way, adds value. And I had this skill set. So I decided to take that skill set into the market. And the only market I knew of at the time was ClickFunnels because of the amazing Russell Brunson. So I got one of his books, which was the 30 days book at the time, I believe, or the One Funnel Away Challenge. And one of the two is when I got in there and I got to see Steve Larson and boom, baby, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And I got into all that and I was like, oh, Steve's awesome. And, started getting really knit into that whole world, right? I knew of all of the main players, but they didn't know me, right?
Yeah.
So I was just fanboying at the time. So I got into it. I'm like, oh, this is possible. That's all I need to know is it's possible. So now I did this like Dream 100 method, but I did Dream 10. So I was like, I know how to make this thing called a VSL. And so I was like, I'm going to create some speaker reels for people that I respect and just put it out into the ether. And I did, and it ended up yielding Akbar Sheikh as being one of my first big VSL clients. And to this day, I still work with him. I'm actually working on a VSL for him currently. So we still constantly work together. But the way I met him was by publishing. So when we get into this world, we don't want to do this, right? Uh-huh. This is the thing that's like, nah, that's the thing I'm not going to do. People are just going to find me and they're going to just throw their wallets at me without me saying a word, because they're just going to know I'm awesome without seeing anything else. And it's just not what happens. It's just not how it works at all. People have to have multiple touches with you to form trust, to see what you're like in an intimate fashion, what it would be like if you're working one-on-one with them as a client. So how else can they see that but by publishing? So I put out this weird game show out of nowhere called X's Nose Game Show. And it introduced me to all these big names that I look up to. Uh-huh. Now they're coming on my show and now they know I exist. Oh,
yes. Weird.
Someone that I should know because he has this bizarro show that people are gravitating towards because it's different and strange. And so I just leveraged my last win. You know, so I'd say, oh, Marley came on. Are you? Akbar Sheikh came on. Omar Ladder came on. Alan Dean came on. Doug Boughton came on. Are you? And they'd be like, well, what the heck is this show? Why haven't I heard about it? Because they're looking up to the people I already got on the show.
Yeah.
So now it validates what I'm doing. And I just keep stacking and getting bigger and bigger names, bigger and bigger people. And it put me on the map really, really fast. And it was the foundation of everything I did. Akbar Sheikh came on the show and then I made him a speaker reel. And then that speaker reel, he sent me a response of like, dude, 3 months later, after I sent it to him, I forgot I even did it. And he was like, did you make this? I said, yeah. He goes, can I use it? I go, yeah, use it for whatever you want. I just wanted to show a gratitude towards you for all the amazing things that you're doing. I appreciate it. And I wanted to show a token of my gratitude. And he was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Don't hear from him for another handful of days. And then he throws this video at me of him in an apple orchard giving a VSL to his phone about this close from the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, what can you do with this? So I made him a VSL with it. And that started a relationship that has continued to this day. And it was the foundation of what became my VSL agency that currently is one of the primary ways that I make income online.
That is absolutely amazing. Thank you for sharing. And there's so many hints that came out of that before we even got into, you know, the $1 million question. You gave so many golden nuggets and I'm sure you probably are going to go back, but because of who you are, let me ask you this $1 million question that I ask each and every one of my guests. Here's a question.
Okay.
What blueprint would you give the younger version of yourself in business, relationship, and family in order to succeed or in order to be successful?
Okay. Well, so, business.
Yes.
Want me to jump right in or no?
Go in there. Let's get it done.
Go.
Go.
So with business, my biggest piece of advice would be don't be so picky. Don't get so much in your head. Try things. Don't be afraid to fail. Fail as fast as you possibly can. And because that was something that was really terrifying to me. I had a big fear of failure. Because if I was going to go in, I had to make it. I had to prove to people. Mm-hmm. And I'm a firm believer that to really be a big contributor, to be a really meaningful contributor, you had to have gone through a proving phase at some point, whether you prove it to yourself, others, God, whoever it may be, whatever it may be, you had to prove. You had to get something off your chest, right? There's a chip on your shoulder. There was something you had to overcome and show others. I did that. There's a proving ground. And I think that that is a foundation before you can be an effective contributor, which I know that not a lot of people agree with. But that is my firm belief on that. I have not really seen any examples to the contrary as of yet. But I had this big fear of failing, because it was going to be like, oh, see, we told you that this was a mistake. Just go get a job. Why do you need to do this? Just go work your job. Be happy. Go find happiness. Go find a nice girl, get married, have kids, and work your 9 to 5, and they'll give you a pension, probably, maybe, and they'll take care of you until you die. It's going to be great. And I was like, no, absolutely not. That, you might as well kill me, because that is not my idea of what I want. It just wasn't what I wanted at all. And I joke around that I'm not a great employee. I fake it pretty damn well at this point, but it is not my natural state. Mm-hmm. I am a person that is a creator. I'm a facilitator. I bring, you know, lift up others. I'm definitely like a servant leader. That's where I feel impactful. That's where I feel like I can contribute in some way. Feeling like I was a little cog in a bigger machine just was soul crushing to me. Like, it just killed my creativity. I don't even do CGI anymore because it just killed my passion for it. I will probably someday again. I'll return to it, but it needs some time, you know? Yeah. So I'd say that was my biggest one, was fail faster. Don't be so afraid to just make a gunshot choice and go and fail and fail and fail, because now you know what not to do. So that's number one. What was number two?
Number two, let's deal with, what would you tell the younger version of yourself in business? Well, we've done business, family. Yeah. It's family.
Family. Be more picky. So the exact opposite is, don't just jump in because you want the result, because you have the dream scenario laid out and it's like checking a box. Don't do that. Definitely take your time there. Make sure it's someone that aligns with you in your goals, your desires, your dreams, and that they know all of your quirks and you know all of theirs, and you embrace each other and you make each other better. Mm-hmm. If they don't make you better, they got to go, or you got to go. And so that would be my biggest thing I would tell my younger self with relationships and family.
So let's dive a little deep on the relationship piece, because you have friends and you've built some major relationships. You just spoke about Akbar and, mm-hmm. and how that relationship have evolved, and you, sure. and you're still in that relationship. And I know it intertwines with business. Could you just share a little bit more, let's say one or two golden nuggets when it comes to really building solid long-term relationships? Oh,
yeah. Absolutely. Care. Just care. It's really the foundation of it all. Just genuinely care about the other person and their well-being and their success before and above all of your own. Give without the need to have reciprocation. And inherently, it generally does reciprocate. There are some times where it doesn't, and that's fine. And you have a friend, you know, it's, they decide at what level of friendship or relationship that they want to take on. And some people don't want that, and that's okay. But the vast majority of people just want someone that's not going to see them as a transaction. Mm-hmm. Everyone, I think, for the viewers and for obviously you, Kendra, that you've all experienced someone jumping in your DMs and being like, this is what I have. Do you want it or not? Or I can offer you a VA that's going to make you an appointment setter, or whatever it may be, jumping in there and just going right cutthroat, right? Or they'll do the three question. I call it the three question closed, where it's like, where do you live? What do you do for your business? Uh-huh. And some other corny question. And then they do the close. So that's their like building rapport, and then they slam you with the close. And most of the time it's an automated message generator to start with. Yeah. It feels disingenuous because it is. There's no care there. There's no people there. If you tried to walk up to someone in a bar, in a social setting, whatever it may be, and you pulled that on somebody, they A, would think you were nuts. B, probably a little off, like I'm uneasy around you. And the other one is you might even get a restraining order out of it if you push hard enough. So why is it okay online? That's crazy that it's acceptable here, but if you were person to person, that's not how you would conduct yourself. Imagine like you're sitting at a bar and you put a tablet in front of somebody and it just has like automated questions. Like if you're hitting on a guy or a girl or whatever it may be, and it's like, hello, what's your name? What do you do for work? What are some of your hobbies and interests? Do you want to buy this thing? Do you want to come home with me tonight?
Yeah.
No. What is happening? This is insane.
It's insane.
But it's okay here. No, it's not. Treat it like you would in person and you'll be just fine. So I think that that's the biggest advice I can give to somebody. And the other one is leverage your last win always. So when I say leverage your last win, no one wants to be the first. What happens to the first line of defense in war? They generally don't make it home, or they make it home that's rough. True. You don't want to be first. We've been taught that from eons of time to not be the first. So don't make someone the first. Do some case studies, get some testimonials, get something to put out front to show people it's safe to come here, to work with you, to do things with you, to engage with you, that you're a genuine person and that you do what you say you're going to do. So as an example, when I had my show, I let people know that there were people they looked up to that had already come on. So one person had to give me a shot, and that was Marley. Marley gave me a shot, and I'll always be thankful to her for that. And then she brought on one of her friends, which is another big name in the industry at the time. So I had two big names on the show, and then from that point on, I was off to the races. I just had to have one. I got two. I got lucky. So my very first show was just my family, my mom with her crazy big hat. There's a part of it where her butt was just in the middle of the screen for some reason. Like she was like looking for something. Like it was crazy. Like the whole thing just went to crap. And the second episode is when I had Marley on, and she was like, can you show me an example of your show? Send her the first episode. And she's like, this is insane. I'm in. She took a chance on me. But I'd also built up some rapport with her prior to that. I'd been in her group. I'd been engaging. I'd been active. She knew who I was by name because I was always the first one to say hashtag live. I was always the person to give, little notes back on when she would give a presentation about what I'd learned. I'd engage. She knew I existed. So she knew I had great intentions, and she knew that I cared, and she knew that I was an action taker. So she was willing to take that chance on me, and she did. And because of that, I just kept using my last win. So my third show, I was like, Marley and so-and-so came on. Are you? And they would naturally be like, what is the show? I have never heard of this. What's going on here? Because they look up to that person.
Yeah.
So now I get three more big names on the third episode. And then the next episode, I have three or four again. And then I just fill in the gaps because now everyone wants to be on the episode with the big name because they want to meet him or they want to engage with them. They want feedback and they want to know that there's validation that they exist. So I would just fill shows like crazy because I'd have a couple big names on them. So it's don't make someone the first.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So looking back, and now I want to talk about the last question, part of the questions which you answered. And I always like digging just a little bit more deeper because I want to, what you've just done in the beginning of our conversation, shared so much value. And as you continue to just share value to your younger version of yourself, so anyone that's watching, mm-hmm. when we go live, which I'm so excited that that's around the corner, that they would have an opportunity to say, what would Jim say about investing in my family relationships? Because you said choose wisely. You did say choose that.
Careful.
And before we come to our final remarks, I mean, is there anything else that you would want to say on that? Choose wisely is more than enough, but I just wanted to give you space to share anything else before we move on that family.
With family, I mean, it's family, right? So if it's family that you're born into, then treat them as such. You know, make sure that they know that you have best intentions, that you are going to do your very best and give it your all. Because most of the time, your family just wants the best for you, right? Yeah. But you're going to get those questions like, you're still doing that thing, the online thing. And, you know, questions that kind of are tertiary to that, that all mean the same thing. Are you done goofing around and you're going to get serious again? It's really what they mean, because they're looking out for you and because you're reaching out for success, for something more, for a higher tier, makes them feel uncomfortable and insecure with the choices they've made. It makes them look at themselves. So that's uncomfortable. People want to be comfortable. So what's comfort? Comfort is when you mirror somebody else. That's why mirroring is a thing in the first place. So when you're selling to someone, there's a term called mirroring. So if someone's really high energy, you come in high energy too, and it makes them feel more comfortable. But if they're more timid and they're more sincere and more kind of concentrated and you match them there, then they feel, oh my God, we're connected. Mm-hmm. So it's similar. And when you don't have that in alignment, it makes them feel very uncomfortable, very, very edgy. And it's a similar factor to with your family. Yeah. Is it makes them feel insecure because they feel like, oh, did I make the right choice? It's so much less about you and more about them. Is you're making them reflect on their own decisions. Because what do we care about more than anything in the world? Ourselves.
Ourselves.
It's just the truth. We care about ourselves. If you can just let them know in some way, the easiest way to let them know is I just try and surmise, right? So I usually say, I make videos for online entrepreneurs that help them sell more stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. I get that enough to stop asking questions.
Yeah.
Is that making you money? Yes, it is. Awesome. Congratulations. I think that's fantastic. Cool. Let's move on. And that's it. I just try and get to the shortest path to not talking about that anymore, because generally speaking, they're not going to understand, and they're not going to understand your wants, your desires, why that's important to you. Because it's like, well, I don't get that. I don't get that because that's not my frame of reference, right? That's mm-hmm. not what I've come to know as being security. That sounds scary. I don't want that. And that's fine. All good. So I just try and get to the shortest path to that. And it usually works out pretty well. Now, as far as chosen family, loved ones, spouse, so on, etc. Yes, be more picky. And when I say picky, do I mean blocking people out unnecessarily? No, absolutely not. Leave yourself open, just like you leave yourself open to opportunity in your business. But just make sure that they don't just align with you and the physical and in the surface emotional level, but also in your goals and desires. Because that way, even if you grow in different directions, you grow differently, but you still grow in the same direction. You still want the same thing. You know, the goal is still the same, but you may get there a little differently. But you support each other. You want the best for each other. You want to make each other better. So I think that I would pick someone more carefully that would have more of those traits. And I would probably probe more to find out that those align better.
You know that when I'm around you, I feel so relaxed, so calm. You have such a peaceful spirit around you. And I truly want to thank you for coming on and being a part of the Great Awakening Virtual Summit and taking a chance, right? Taking a chance. And so I'm super, super excited. And before we close, do you have any final remarks?
It's more than anything. Thank you so much for having me. Your book is absolutely fantastic. Your first book, and I'm excited for your second book. So just keep doing what you're doing. And for those of you out there that are watching, keep your eyes on Kendra. She is an upward moving rocket, and it's absolutely amazing to see you. So that would be it. It's just pay close attention, because there's a lot of great things that she's sharing here.
Oh my goodness, Jim. Thank you so much. The Great Awakening Virtual Summit will continue. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.